I don't think there are many stories that are more exciting for me to tell than those that go like this. She had a job outside of the home that utilized her skills but didn't give her joy. And so she built a business at home that uses her skills and gives her more freedom and flexibility and lets her make more. And it sets her free from the day job. And then after doing that for a while, being in service of other people, getting paid better, enjoying some freedom and flexibility of being, quote, self-employed, transitions again into spending those skills, spending that time on her own projects, building something for her future, doing work that isn't just traded for a dollar one time. When someone is in that place, you can usually spot them by the smile on their face, and it's definitely true. So I can't wait to introduce you to my guest. Hey guys, you are listening to Love People and Make Money. This is Kelly McCauzy. You are listening to episode number 18. If you ever get the chance to start a podcast, invite your friends to join you on the show and get into really nice conversations where you totally forget I'm recording a podcast right now. Two thumbs up. Do it. It is really fun. I love that so much of my work doesn't feel like work. So my guest this week is the awesome Cindy Bedar, and I'm not going to let too many moments tick by without jumping right into the conversation, but I do just want to say I did, like, totally forget we were recording a podcast. That's how much I enjoy spending the time with Cindy. So I know you are going to as well. Let's go. Hey, everybody, you're back with Kelly here at Love People and Make Money, and I'm joined by my guest, Cindy Bedar. Hi, Cindy.
Hey, Kelly.
Waving to you from across the polar vortex here in Michigan. It is cold.
It is, but it is pretty outside.
It is. It's kind of from in here.
Yeah.
I have not had to be out there in it. You know, winter storms bring great opportunity in Michigan. Like, they're actually, this storm is not great for our economy because it's literally shutting the state down. But if we had a little less cold and snow, then it's actually really good for our economy because it puts all of our entrepreneurial snow plowers into business and all the teenagers are shoveling sidewalks and the ski resorts are happy, 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 and all the good things.
Ooh, silver lining. Love it.
That's how, well, when I lived up in northern Michigan, I stopped praying that we wouldn't have snow. Because given my own preferences, I would not have any snow. I would not have any cold weather. I would not live in Michigan. But in northern Michigan, with the ski resorts and the snow plowing industry, there are families who live off snow. So I learned to be grateful for the snow. And
that's a good attitude to have.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm so glad that I work at home inside and that I don't have to commute. And
yes,
when the state is shut down like it is right now, like the state of Michigan offices are closed, the post office is closed, all the schools are closed. Businesses are announcing left and right that they're closed. That has to have a pretty big impact on a lot of people. And fortunately, it does not impact me. And my business continues to run and flow, as does yours.
Absolutely.
So, well, let's introduce people to you. So obviously, Cindy lives here in Michigan with me. She's just over an hour west of me. But we see each other out of the state more than we do in the state.
Yeah, we get together in Florida and Atlanta. And
yes.
Never locally.
So, Cindy, who are you? What do you do?
Well, I do a lot of things. My focus right now is on teaching online entrepreneurs, kind of the solopreneur person, how to better systemize their business to be more efficient and to make more money with less effort. That's what I've done. Those are the systems that I have built for my clients over the years. And now I am focusing on teaching other people how to do that so that they can do it for themselves.
So when you say better systems, can you get a little specific? Like, what kind of systems are we talking about?
Sure. So if you want to, for example, sell something online, there's 100 ways to put a digital product up for sale, right? But some ways are better than others. And if you can put a repeatable system in place where you've got all of those boxes ticked and you do the same thing sort of every time, then you're going to be able to leverage that and make more money ultimately with a lot less effort because you've got all of your ducks in a row, if you will. You've got all the pieces in the right place. You know what works for you. You know what doesn't work. You know what you can change up to do it better. And because you do it the same way all the time, then you can do it faster and faster, or you can outsource it and get somebody else to do it for you.
Which is where you have all, you know, you've got all this experience with, you know, when you say there's hundreds of ways to put up a product for sale, that's absolutely true. And you've had your hands in a variety of those methods. So when when you say some are better, you're speaking from that experience of seeing it in action in six and seven figure businesses.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've had my fingers in lots and lots and lots of different softwares, different shopping carts, different email providers, different website builders, just all kinds of things. I've been lucky enough to be able to test all of that out on someone else's dime in a lot of cases, which has been great. Talk about on-the-job training, right? But that is, I mean, really, that's kind of what throws people when they're, not even when they're first getting started, but even after they're established a little bit, they see all of these options out there. You know, I don't know which email provider is the best one to use, and I don't know which shopping cart is the best one to use, and does this email provider that I picked work with the shopping cart that I picked, and what about my landing page builder? Can I use this one, or do I need that one, or do I need something else? And there's so many variables that your full setup option is infinite almost.
Yeah.
So that's where a lot of people get stuck is they come to me and they say, I don't know which one. I don't know which one to choose. Which one should I use? How do I even get started? So that's where my experience comes in handy because I can really quickly go, no, you want this one and this one and this one because, you know, X, Y, and Z, instead of somebody else having to go through and read a bunch of reviews and trial and error it, you know, for weeks before they get their product up for sale or their list magnet up, you know, for people to opt into.
I got to tell you that I'm feeling really blessed and grateful that you're doing what you're doing, that you've been an online business manager. You started out as a virtual assistant. You moved on into online business management. You have built and managed, you know, funnels that make hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars for other people in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have, you know, embraced that your expertise is really valuable. And so now you're offering, you teach, you share, you create systems and teach them to others, create templates that they can use. You have a membership site. And I send people to you.
You do. Thank you. I know you do. Because I send you money.
I'm so grateful. I'm grateful because they need someone who understands those systems. And it's not that I don't understand the system, but I have one system that I use.
Mm-hmm.
I have one favorite tool. And it is, I do have private clients who want me to help them do it just like I do it. And sometimes that's appropriate and I'm happy to do it. But I have clients who I look at their business and say, my system is not right for you. And at that point, I want to send them over to you. I want to say, go ask Cindy. Go tell her what you're doing. Ask her what she thinks. Because I know you have such a wide breadth of experience with it, and I can trust you with them that you can fill those gaps.
Yeah, I think a lot of times, you know, there's that expression that says when all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Yeah,
and I think that's true in the online space when people get not you. You know, clearly, because you have your client's best interests at heart. But a lot of people get into maybe promoting something, for example, and all of a sudden, that's what everyone needs. That particular tool, that particular software is the solution for all of your problems. And it's not always the best resource for somebody. But when you don't have a lot of experience with different options, it can be hard to see that there even are different options out there.
So true. So true. I lost a thought. So let me pull it back. So another reason that I'm really grateful to have you to recommend is that while there was a time that I enjoyed creating resources that were very step-by-step and technical in nature, I don't anymore. I really enjoy creating resources that are more focused on the content creation side of things, the thinking bigger side of things. And so It's just so nice. Like if you weren't around to send them to, when I have a client who needs a step-by-step tutorial, then I almost feel like a responsibility to, well, let me make you a video on that. And I just don't feel that way anymore. I just say, go see Cindy, go get Cindy's tutorial, go get her checklists.
That's awesome.
She's going to show you. And you know, this just illustrates the beautiful thing about never seeing anybody as competition. We have the same target market.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yet I feel no fear or concern about sending people to you. And vice versa. You know, you've been sending people over to the I Dare You to Email Challenge.
Because it's just so much fun.
Well, and it's, so you're teaching them specifically, strategically, here's the checklist on here's how you set something up.
Oh yeah. And I sell email templates too. Here's the emails to send.
I plan to tell them about those email templates. So it's so cool. Here you're telling them, and here's the thing is you can tell people exactly what to do. You can give them a very detailed blueprint, template, checklist that takes them from A to Z, but you can't make them do it.
Yep.
And so that's where the idea to you to email challenges. I'm not teaching them how to start a mailing list. I'm not teaching them how to create an opt-in or set that up or anything technical whatsoever. I'm just daring them every single day to write an email.
Yeah. And you're just the cheerleader.
Yep.
You're just the motivation squad, right?
Yep. How fun that I get to send people to you and you get to send people to me and I get to send them back. and it's just this beautiful play of cooperation. So cool. And none of this would be happening if you were still an online business manager.
You got that right. Because I'd be spending all my time working for other people.
I know it. I know it. I'm so glad.
Me too.
So
it's all your fault. It's all you and Nicole's fault.
Well, so timeline, when did you throw the switch and begin to offer your own resources?
So I had, I was working full-time for clients. I did that for 7 years, right? I quit my job in 2011 to start a virtual assistant business. And I actually started out as a copywriter. Copying content was my first online gig. And I did that for a long time. And I still have a couple of clients that I do that for in a tiny, tiny little bit. It's not my favorite thing to do, but I still have a couple of long-term clients. Then I moved into the more technical stuff, and that's kind of where I found my sweet spot was figuring stuff out. I was the problem solver. I was the builder. I think Amy Porterfield would probably refer to me as the integrator. That's what she calls her technical VA on her team, is the integrator. I was the one that made all the systems talk to each other. I was the one that troubleshooted, you know, any issues that came up. I was the one that was building funnels and websites and membership sites and all of that sort of thing. And I did that full time for, like I said, about 8 years. And then last year, and in between over the years, I've had a couple of little off branches of let's do something for myself, kind of playing with it a little bit with a couple of courses I created and a couple of niche websites that I played around with, but nothing ever really stuck. I didn't really dedicate myself to it because I had this full-time work going on for other clients.
Yeah.
So last year, about this time, actually over the Christmas holiday, 2017, I had some time off and I started to think, you know what? I'm building someone else's empire and I can't retire on that. So I sat my husband down and I said, I'm going to fire all my clients. He said, what? And I said, I'm going to fire all my clients. I need to go do my own thing. So I didn't fire all my clients. I still have a couple of clients, but I fired most of them. And then in March of last year, so March of 2018, I kind of fiddled around from January to March, you know, offboarding my clients that I was getting rid of and kind of finding my way. And then in March of 2018, I went to the beach house with you and Nicole. And over those 3 days, we mapped out a plan for me to build a whole basically online business training for people who have existing businesses, but who are ready to scale and earn more and leverage what they have. So in other words, they're not newbies mostly, but they know that they can do better. So that's kind of my target market. And you and Nicole and Jessica LaRue and the other ladies at the beach house all helped me map that out. And when I came home, I sat down and I created my first full course, The Funnel Advantage, and I launched that in May. So what is that? This is January. So that was 8 months ago.
So the Funnel Advantage is the first course that you released. And then you have since then launched a membership, and that's six-figure systems?
Correct. Six-figure systems, yes.
So you've got the course, you're running a membership, you're selling individual resources as well.
Correct. Checklists. I kind of specialize in checklists and templates, like email templates and landing page templates. And I'm coming out next month with a webinar template.
I love it. So we're talking about, you know, a shift that occurred just a year ago. Things like open out there, promoted for less than a year. What has this created for you?
Oh, it's been amazing. It's really been amazing. It's number one, it's created so much freedom in my life because I'm working a whole lot less now. Mm-hmm. My husband works with me, and we have a couple of virtual assistants that he is training. So that's kind of my team, and they honestly work a whole lot harder than I do. We just last week sat down and said, okay, so what are our, we got all corporate-y, right? What are our job responsibilities? What are our roles in this business? And my ultimate goal, my role is content creation and marketing. So this shift has allowed me to really focus on that sweet spot for me. So I spend all of my time, all of my working time, just creating content and networking and mapping out the big picture, you know, our marketing plans and funnels and that sort of thing. And that's really, that's kind of my zone of genius. So I'm able to do that now, which is, I can't even express how much better that feels to just be able to focus on that one area where I really enjoy it. And I really come into my office every morning and I'm just thrilled to be at work and I'm excited about the work I'm doing. And it's just amazing. So that alone has been a huge shift for me.
Have you fired all of your clients?
No.
So there's a few people that have held on to your loyalty.
I kept the ones that I like.
Yeah.
That's not fair. I hope the clients I fired don't hear this. No, that's not really fair. I did not, when I say I fired my clients, we handed some people off to my husband who does the majority of that work. Mm-hmm. And I quit taking new clients and I no longer accept work from, kind of one-off clients. You know, service providers all know these people. They have these clients that kind of come and go. They'll pop up with a project here or a project there and that sort of thing. And those are the clients that I'm not working with anymore. I'm not doing any of those one-off projects.
Yeah. There comes a point when, you know, you're developing enough income yourself. As you said, you're not building someone else's empire. You're building your own. So your time, you're bringing value to your projects. If you've got, let's say you've got 10 hours of time and you know that that would create X amount of income for you, are you to the point where you're comparing that to 10 hours of time for a client and measuring which is more?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. That's pretty much the determining factor because I can't charge enough per hour. Like for example, if somebody were to come to me and say, hey, can you, I don't know, can you troubleshoot this plugin problem I'm having, which is something I would have done in the past with WordPress. I would have, sure, I'll jump in and I'll play around with it and see if I can figure it out. But it might take me an hour to do it. But I can't charge enough for that hour of my time to make it worth interrupting my schedule to do.
Yeah.
And I never, you said something to me one time that I've never forgotten. And I've told you this before. way a long time ago when I first got started online, in fact, I still had a day job, so this is going way back. You said something like, I don't even open my laptop for less than $100. And I thought you were crazy. I thought you were nuts. I thought, what? Anybody's going to pay me for anything. I'm going to do it. I don't care if it's 10 bucks. And now I totally understand it, because it takes up space in your head and it is just not worth it.
Yeah. Well, and for those of you who don't know, I mean, this came out of the mouth of someone who used to do buttons for $5 and whole websites for less than $50. Like back in my first year of business, I back then, I've done quite a few podcast interviews lately where I've talked about my mindset shift from back then. And when I really think back to 2002, when I was first making money, it felt magical and mystical that I should do something on my computer and that money should come back from it. You know, so it was part having a low poverty mindset, but it was part just like, oh my God, I can't believe I got $5, you know?
Well, I think it's not only that. For me, the other issue is sometimes stuff comes so easy to us that we don't see the value in it.
Yes.
You know, this is really easy for me to do. It's really easy for me to install WordPress. So I think it's really easy for everybody, and therefore there's no value in it.
Yeah.
But most people, if you handed them the logins for a server and said, go install WordPress, they would faint.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so much about valuing our time, and it's a journey for everybody.
It is. I think we all start out with that, yeah. You know, charge $5 and think you've won the lottery.
Yeah. And to be honest, there are a lot of people who would have had the same little journey that you had of doing some copywriting, doing some VA work, you know, ramping up to being an online business manager. And they would never catch a vision for how they would use it to build their own business.
Everybody has their sweet spot,
mm-hmm.
and everybody has their ultimate goal.
Yeah.
You know, like I certainly have the experience and the knowledge and the drive to really ramp up my business coaching branch, right?
Yeah.
And to go out and you know, hire a high-end photographer and mm-hmm. have a $5,000 website built and, you know, host webinars and sell $10,000 coaching packages. I could do that. I'm not going to, because it's just not me. So, you know, there are thousands of service providers out there who could do exactly what I'm doing, who could say, you know what, I'm not going to work for clients anymore. I'm going to start creating courses and I'm going to start creating training materials and I'm going to coach my clients instead of doing the work for them. But that's not them. That's not what they want to do.
Yep. I've talked about that before. There are a lot of virtual assistants out there right now who are basically serving as a business coach for their clients.
Absolutely.
You know, and I love to wake them up to understand the value that they're providing.
But I think it's fine that they do that as long as they're charging accordingly.
Well, most of the time they're not.
Well, then that's a problem.
Well, like, so.
Because if people are hiring a business coach for $25 an hour, that's a problem.
Yes. Well, that, you know, my point is, if you're telling the client what they need to do, you're coaching,
mm-hmm.
you're consulting.
Yep.
If you're providing, if they're coming to you and saying, I want this result, and you're creating the plan and executing it for them, you know. You're not being a VA, you're being a coach consultant / with a done for you angle.
Yep.
and they would have paid somebody else good $10,000, $20,000 for that. So just to wake people up to realize, hey, what you're doing is worth more. But I do think that there are people who this is not me talking down to someone who doesn't want to become a coach consultant. If your goal was to replace a job with a stay-at-home business where you put in 40 hours and make a good, you know, $70,000 a year as a VA, and that's what you want to do, put in your 40 hours and be done, then God bless it.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the world needs that kind of talent.
Yeah.
Hey. And that kind of loyalty. Absolutely.
Do it.
But if you got bigger dreams than that, go for that too.
Yes. I really feel like if the vision is there, you should chase it. If it's not, you know, well, then do what you're doing if you like it.
Yeah.
It's actually frustrating for me sometimes. So there's people who get a vision like you. You had a vision. You saw clearly, bing, holy crap, I could do this.
Well, somebody had to tell me I could do it. I had to have permission. That's what I came to the beach house for.
Yeah. So then there's people who have no vision at all. They are very happy to put in their 40 hours. Then there's people who fall somewhere in between, like they've heard that there's a way to work less and make more, but they don't have a vision. And those people, I'm starting to understand if I pick up on it early enough that they're not my best client, because then they come to me and say, what should I do? And I'm like, I don't know.
Like, what do you want to do?
Yeah, there's like 50 different things you could do. What's your vision? I would love to support you in developing your vision. But when I think back over the years, every time I tried to plant a vision, I regretted it and they regretted it. Because it's just doesn't work. Because basically they're just still trying to put in their 40 hours. They're still trying to do what they've been told to do.
Yes.
Which works when you're being paid by the hour.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work when your results are based on your everything.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. You have to, and that's a mindset shift too. You have to kind of embrace the role of what did one of my former clients calls it, chief visionary officer. You have to be willing to be the boss, I guess, for lack of a better term, right?
Yep. Several years ago at David Perdue's NAMS event, Paul Evans was keynoting, and he was just lamenting a little bit from the stage that some people wanted him to tell them exactly what to do. And he's like, you want me to tell you to do this and then do this and then do this. And let me tell you what that's called. It's a job.
Yes.
It's a job.
Yes, it is.
You cannot come to a coach and ask them to design a job for you. You know?
That's very good advice.
Did you hear what you just almost said? It made me crack up.
What did I say?
You were trying to say mindset and it came out kind of like mind shit. And I was like, totally, you need a mind shit shift. Yes.
Is that what we call a Freudian slip?
That's funny. So, with everything that you've created, since opening the doors for your own resources. And this, I'm just being a nosy Parker now, but are you officially your own six-figure business?
I've been a six-figure business since year one.
With your service-based business, yes.
Yes.
With your new, what you're doing now.
Oh, yes.
You shifted that quickly into...
Yes, it did not take long.
You're not building six and seven figures for others. You're building six figures for yourself.
Yes.
Moving on up. Heading for seven figures.
Probably not this year. Maybe next year. I do have a big goal for this year. That I think we're on target to hit. So, I mean, it's early in the year yet, but
awesome. But yeah. Awesome. Therese and I were talking about this. You probably saw my email when I realized I did 250,000 last year.
Mm-hmm.
Had no idea.
I know. I'm like, how far out, how far removed are you from your bookkeeping that you didn't know that? That's what I didn't understand.
I am the worst example in the world of knowing your numbers. I knew things were going well, but in my mind, there was no way that it was that I was had that kind of revenue. So that it took me by surprise. And there's this whole month has been me like letting that soak in and saying, well, hail. You know, if you did that and didn't even realize it, what might happen if you actually paid attention and got a little more intentional?
Yeah. Funny how that works, huh?
Yeah.
What if I tried to do this on purpose?
So, and the big question is do I want to? I love people and make money, but I'm not exceedingly driven by money. I'm driven by what that money can do, you know? So it's really a measure of, well, where do I want to spend my time? If I didn't work hard and made that much money, maybe I just want to keep not working hard.
But do you, or not do you, but I would caution you to be careful what story you tell yourself.
Yes.
If I can put on my mindset hat for a minute, don't tell yourself that you only want to make $300,000.
Yeah.
Because that's all you will make.
I'm not telling myself that. But I'm very mindful of what do I want to create. And I want to lean into that. The first thing that many people asked me when I shared that was, what's your next big goal? And I wanted to smack every one of them. It's just like, if we were in person, I'd give them a dirty look. Like, it's not that I don't want to be pushed for a big goal, but that is not always. Why can't you just celebrate with me for a second? Why you gotta be pushing me? Right this second. But you
can't we just enjoy this?
Yes. Can we just take a minute? This is the broke single mom, you know, who used to put change in a peanut butter jar. So that once it hit $20, I could take my kid to the movies. You know, this is the gal who got her utilities turned off. This is the gal who a storm blew a tree over and insurance wouldn't pay for it. And I cried for a week. You know, that's me 17 years ago. I hardly know her, but that's still me. And so I needed a minute to own that I was capable of generating $250,000 in revenue without working hard. I needed a minute to just let it ride. And, but so you and Melissa Brown have both recommended the Life Coach School podcast.
Oh, I love her. I love her so much. I'm like totally stalking her yes. Life Coach Scholars group, thinking, I want to join this.
Yeah.
I need to be in that group.
I think I might want to too. One of her recent podcasts, she talked about, she had a similar situation to me where she overshot an income goal and had a pleasant surprise that, oh, I need to put some more money aside because I'm going to owe more taxes than I realized.
Mm-hmm.
But her overshoot was $3 million.
Yeah, well.
And I'm like, give me that. Like, let me overshoot by $3 million.
I bet you wouldn't be on this podcast saying, you know what? I didn't realize I made $325 or $3,250,000 last year.
Yep.
I bet you'd have known that.
Yes, I love her. I love that show. So you know your numbers all the time.
I know my numbers all the time. That's my thing. It's what I'm preaching to my members all the time, is to know your numbers. That's the first thing I do every day, is I go see what my mailing list size is, what my website traffic is, how much money did I make yesterday? I mean, literally every single day. And that sounds obsessive maybe, but you can't improve what you're not tracking. And the only way to track it for me is to track it every day, because otherwise, if I wait until, you know, the end of the month, for example, well, then it's too late. It's too late to adjust anything, to make any improvements.
Yeah.
So that's why I advocate tracking that stuff every day. It takes like 5 minutes and then I know where I stand.
Here's my challenge, and it's not an insurmountable challenge. It's just a matter of, you know, hiring a new bookkeeper. I had one for a couple of years, but I have 5 different businesses. And so I can look at Love People Make Money and tell you how much that's making. And I can look at White Label Perks and tell you Daily Faith. I can tell you Mom Webs. I can tell you Beachpreneurs. I can tell you. But having it all funnel in together and see the numbers, that doesn't happen until the end of the year. And it shouldn't be that way. And I'm curious, from a mindset place, why didn't I ever ask myself at any point, I wonder what all this adds up to? You know?
Yeah, I wonder that too.
I really think that there's a big way that I'm in denial about what I'm capable of and what I'm accomplishing. And it's just that it's an upper limit thing that Gay Hendricks talks about in The Big Leap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this, I am spending more and more time in my zone of genius. And in doing so, things blew the heck up last year, like exponential growth. And that the rest, accounting is clearly in my zone of incompetence. So I need to get my butt out of that zone and put someone else in there. So that,
yes, because you could have a bookkeeper that sends you a report every week that would take her 5 minutes. Here's where you stand, Kelly.
Yes. And so I knew that, and I knew I wanted that. But I was making up that would be expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly, I can afford it. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's, It's on the to-dos. I want someone local because I had a bookkeeper who was virtual and it was fine, but I really want to, I want to go into someone's office and sit down and look at things with them. And I just don't want someone who's going to monitor and give me reports. I want someone who's monitoring, giving me reports, forecasting, and telling me what to do next. Because
are you talking about a bookkeeper or an accountant?
I don't know. I don't really know what's the difference between them. But
I'm not, certainly not an expert, but to me, a bookkeeper is just somebody who enters expenses and income into a bookkeeping system like QuickBooks.
Yeah.
They just keep things organized. An accountant is the one that looks at those numbers and says, you better put some more money away for taxes because you're making too much money.
That's the thing. You guys have heard me confess this before, and it's not going to be any freaking different this year, that ever since I had health problems that resolved in 2013, I came out of that year not being able to pay my taxes on time. And so that year I paid off my taxes from the year before, but I made more money. So I owed them taxes and then I made more money and it's just been a constant. I am always peeing on last year's tax fire. And I'm so over that.
You need an accountant.
Yes.
I got a guy if you want one. You'd have to come to Grand Rapids, but he's local.
Yeah.
He's really good.
Give me recommends. Grand Rapids is not that far, as long as
it's it's an hour. I mean, how often do you have to go to the accountant, right?
Yeah.
We go two or three times a year, I think.
This is such good conversation.
You want his name right here live on the air? I'm happy to plug him or give him a plug.
Plug him.
His name is Mike. Now I'm not going to be able to remember his name. His name is Mike.
Hey, Mike.
His name is Mike. Oh, my goodness. Let me see. I'm on my computer. I can bring him up. Sorry, Mike. I was trying to do a good deed.
So, well, to wrap up for listeners, gosh, I hope that hearing us talk about this stuff lights a fire in you. Like if you're a VA who is doing consulting work, charge more.
Yes.
If you're dreaming of transitioning out of the hours for dollars, place.
Do it. Kelly can help.
Whatever kind of business you have, you know, that you need to set up better systems, learn from Cindy. I've got links in the show notes. Come to lovepeoplemakemoney.com. You are looking for episode number 18. I'm calling it Cindy Bedar Wants You to Build a Better System.
Yes.
Cindy, you mentioned you've been to Beach House and you're coming back.
And I'll be back in March.
Why? What do you love about Beach House?
I walked away with so many aha moments and so many actionable things. It was seriously life-changing. I came home from the beach and I sat the husband down and I said, I want to hire Nicole and Kelly to coach me for the year. And I told him what that would cost. And he about fell out of his chair and said, why do you want to do this? What's in it for us? And I finally talked him into it. And 2 months later, we had completely covered that cost. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the power of the beach house and good coaching. Could I have done that just from going to the beach? Maybe. But I feel like it was the whole package was really what worked well for me. And I think for other people, I mean, you've got some serious powerhouse alumni
yeah.
who really have amazing, amazing businesses.
And now you're one of them. Well, you were, you yeah. had an amazing business when you came.
You know what? I did have an amazing business, but I was working way too hard.
Yeah.
Way too hard.
I'm excited to have you back at the Beach House. Mentioning it, you guys go to beachpreneurs.com to learn more about it. We do have space available. We're doing back-to-back retreats this spring because the first Beach House filled up so fast. We didn't
I'm
have
trying to figure out how I can scam a spot in the second one. I'm just going to stay for 2 weeks.
You. Hi. Don't tease us. Have you already bought your flights?
No.
Don't tease.
I got the husband working on it.
You would not even have to work hard for that. I swear. I swear. So that just makes me grin. But yeah, we do have space in the second Beach House. And you know, there's always someone who impulsively leaps at the last minute. And this isn't the last minute. You guys are watching this in early February. So you've got almost a month to get ready. But even if you're, there are people who have decided to come to the Beach House literally like 5 days before they fly. And if there's space, we would love to have you. And if 2019 is impossible, then if you visit beachpreneurs.com, you'll, you know, once those retreats are over, you'll see dates for next year if you want to jump in. So you can be among the awesome. And like Cindy, you mentioned, you felt like you needed permission. You didn't, but you got it instantly. And not just from Nicole absolutely. And I, but from all the other ladies at the Beach House looking at you going, hell yeah, do it. You're awesome. I think like you saying yes to Beach Printers Club level, which gave you access to both of us and the next Beach House.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you needed us. And yet, so this is what I make up about it, is that people come to the Beach House, they get all fired up with an idea, and then they go home and trickster starts running. Ego starts running and saying, oh yeah, well, they were just saying that. Oh, it was just the magic of the Beach House that made me brave for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do this. And maybe you don't have anybody around you poo-pooing your ideas, but some people do.
Mm-hmm.
They've got family that's not supportive and friends that are a little jealous. And so being part of Beachpreneurs Club level, like you just had this easy access to someone who just kept reminding you, yes, you can do this. Yes, what you're doing is awesome. You know?
Yeah, it is so much easier to get the work done when you've got somebody that you can email and say, what do you think about this? Should I do it this way or should I do it that way? And it's just like that extra level of encouragement, or that extra level of support, or just somebody saying, yes, you're on the right path is really, really helpful.
Yes. I feel that way. I mean, I have people... I did a coaching program where I was going to retreats all last year, and it was really great. Every time I left confirmed again, yes, you know, I bring value just by showing up, and so I'll keep showing up.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Cindy, for taking time to be on the podcast.
Thank you for inviting me. It's always fun to talk to you. We should do it more often since we're practically neighbors.
We should. Just not today.
No, not today. I'll see you in March for sure.
Yes. Alrighty, listeners, I'll be back. Hey guys, you're back with Kelly wrapping up this episode number 18 of Love People and Make Money. Come on back to the website. pick up show notes, find links to everything that's been mentioned on today's show, go to lovepeoplemakemoney.com. You're also going to find blog posts. You're going to find resources and recommendations and courses and challenges, a link to the Facebook community where I'd love to have you come and join and introduce yourself. It's always growing and it just gets warmer and cozier all the time. And I'm so sure that you would add to that. LovePeopleMakeMoney.com. And thanks for listening. Now, go find a way to love people and make money. Why don't you? See you next time.